Father, we just thank you this morning for who you are, what you are, and above all, where you are. Thank you for being omnipresent, God. Thank you, Lord, for not being limited to locality, anytime, any place, or anywhere. But you saw fit today, in the midst of keeping up with Pluto and Mars and Saturn and universes and countless stars, God, you still had time for heart cry. Thank you for walking up in this house this morning and throwing your weight around this room, Lord. Thank you for breaking the dam and letting the river finally flow through some family in this house who's grown dry and parched. Thank you today, God. Thank you for wanting to be with me. As foul as I am, as miserable, God, as I am sometimes, God, I know I'm a pain in the neck, God, but you still run me down. You chase me. You pursue me. You overtake me. I give you the glory and the praise, not only for what's been done, but what's about to happen in this room. I praise you in advance for every soul that's about to be saved. I praise you in advance for every family that's about to taste deliverance. I praise you in advance for every husband that's about to stand up, God, and just let go and let you finally rule his life. I thank you in advance. I thank you for the healings, God, that are already taking place in this room. I'm not trying to be flamboyant. I'm not trying to pump a crowd, God. I'm just going to praise you for a moment. I thank you in advance, God, for the anointing that breaks the yokes. I thank you right now in advance for what you've done, what you're doing, and even more so what you're about to do. Job said, the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. Breathe on this house today, God. And we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' name. And when somebody shout hallelujah in this house, amen? Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. What an honor to be at Heart Cry. Look at this crowd. I don't know if you showed up because you knew Leonard was leaving or not. See, that's wisdom. Because I know you didn't show up to hear me, right? Thank you guys so much for taking the time to be here today. I strongly, listen to me. I'm a different guy. I do it differently than most others do. But I'm not preaching the same message twice today. So I want to encourage every one of you. If you can sit on a couch and watch TV for 3 hours, if you can be on your cell phone for 7 hours a day, looking at everybody's diarrhea and recipe for brownies, it's about what it boils down to, right? I mean, most of this stuff is useless. You can hang out with me for 2 services today, because the next one I'm going to preach today is simply entitled The Comeback Kid. And I know that there are individuals in the room right now who need that message, but I can't preach 2 in the same one. So today we're going to break the ground. We're going to get things rolling. I showed up about 20 after 7 this morning and went to pastor's office and sat in there. And I got to be honest with you. I was looking for something to steal. I'm just being honest. I ain't lying. I know he's watching live stream, but see, you can't do nothing about it now. You in Texas, baby. Hello. I was looking for something to steal, like a revelation, a nugget, maybe the message he's going to preach next Sunday. I'd love to found that, right? Come on, amen. But it's just an honor to be here. Brother Leonard would trust me enough to allow me in this pulpit. This is rare, and I'm very, very thankful for that. And but you know what? We still have the queen bee in the house. She's on the front row. Don't we love Mama Karen, huh? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Amen. Very, very grateful. I want to say this before I get too deep into this today, the growth that I have seen here at Heart Cry over the years. Not that my opinion matters any. You've heard me say before that opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got a couple and they typically stink. But here is my opinion. I've seen so much fruit come out of this ministry since you've got here. I used to it. I'm just being honest with you. The one that stood out to me the most was Sister Shirley. Because she's always had a passion for Christ as long as she's been in my life. She's always had a passion. She's always been a leader. She's always been a fire starter, if you will. And then Christine came in the picture. And my God, girl, I wanted to tell you, you got so bad back there and we were having prayer, the growth. When you opened your mouth to pray back there, it was profound. It hit me and it hit me quick. And I want to thank you for the power that you pack in your life that have came from sacrifice. Most people don't realize, and even I don't, to the extent of what you've been through, the price you paid, the correction you've had to endure. But you know what? You're still standing. 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I look at the worship and praise team up here and the growth that is up here and just so many things that have taken place over the years. And I want to say this to you, Pastor Leonard. I want to say this to you today, and I want you to hear my heart. The success of any ministry is, can it be sustained without your presence? If a ministry dies because you're not there, you didn't have much of a ministry. You hear me? And so I want to say that today, that the fruit of any ministry, the effectiveness of it, is can it survive without your presence? And I'm going to tell you right now, guys, this is the fruit of years of Mama Karen and Pastor Leonard sacrificing. But it didn't come as just those two. It came as a teamwork. And teamwork has made the dream work, right? And so I'm very thankful, amen, for the honor to be here today. I don't have long with the first service, the second service. I got all day. Come on, right? I want to get into this. I want to get going. And I want you to open up your spirit today and let the Lord pour himself into you. This is going to be powerful. Turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5, if you will, this morning. The fifth chapter of the book of Joshua. I'm so excited today. I got up this morning and I was able to put on something I haven't been able to wear in 5 years. So it was a pair of socks, but you got to start somewhere. I mean, I can say with a few of you, hey, man, you didn't find that funny. Joshua chapter 5. I want to ask you to do something today that probably you're not accustomed to doing. I want you to stand with me today for the reading of God's word, if you will, please. Joshua chapter 5 today. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13. I'm not going to read very long at all. Three verses of scripture, if you'll allow me. This is from the King James Version. Pretty much any version you're going to read this from is going to say the same thing. I'm not trying to major so much on one word as I am trying to put this together. Now, when I read this, this isn't going to make a lot of sense to this church. But it's my task and it's my job and my obligation, my assignment to go back and reconnect the dots, throw color on the canvas, and leave you with a wow factor when this is over. So just stay with me. It'll take me just a minute to build my platform, but we're going to get traction and get going. And if anywhere throughout this message you feel like you need to get up out of your seat and come to an altar, you're not going to affect me, you're not going to bother me, and you will not slow me down. Help yourself, honey. If God's drawing you, then it's then you need to move. Amen. Not at a traditional, ritual, formal move. You need to move when God deals with you. Amen. Please be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. He's the only thing that can help fix or sustain any of us. It's not my preaching. It's not our singing. It is the presence of God, right? Verse 13, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua, one version says, ran unto him and said unto him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, neither. But as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth. He did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord? Somebody say, my Lord. My Lord unto his servant. You know, he kind of ran up there with a little bit of an attitude, but he quickly got humbled, right? Last verse. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon you standeth is holy. And Joshua did so. I want you to slap three people and tell them God's with you in the battle. God is with you in the battle. All right, sit down and buckle up. This is how we do it in Alabama. No, I'm not talking about going to a family reunion looking for a date, okay? I'm going to preach. I want to talk to you a few minutes this morning on recognizing the idea that God is with you in your battle. I want to say this right out of the gate before I go any further. I'm not trying to put doom and gloom on the congregation. I am not trying to bring about a negative vibe. But my family and I right now are going through a pretty, pretty serious storm right now. It's not, I don't have time, nor is it necessary to go in details about it, but we are going through a storm. But let me say something about storms. You're either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or headed for a storm. And it'll be one of those three phases till the day you die. There's not four phases. You're either in it, coming out of it, or, amen, you're about to approach one. For my family and I right now, for the last 4 months, we've been in a storm trying our best to navigate our way through this. It's a very difficult time for us. So if you don't mind, I will let all of you eavesdrop for a little while I talk to Daniel. Because the reality of it is, as David said, he learned to encourage himself in the Lord. I want to talk to you on recognizing that God is with you in the battle. And I want every one of you to leave realizing, if nothing else, that you're not by yourself. There is company closer than you might think. You don't have to handle this by yourself. You don't have to go up against the enemy in your own strength. If you'll take a deep breath and calm down and relax, honey, God's going to get some glory out of this in spite of the situation. I'm intrigued by this passage, church, in many ways, but primarily because Joshua is coming up behind his predecessor, Moses, and he's being given handed full responsibility of leading the people of God, and now he's coming up against, watch this, his first major, somebody say major, his first major conflict. This is going to be his biggest fight up to date. There's already been battles and challenges and seasons of conflict and opposition for Joshua, but this one he's about to face, Christina, is unlike anything he's ever encountered. Perhaps this is going to be the deal breaker as it relates to proving or providing to Israel that he has the skills and the ability to become their leader. But Joshua's not a passive leader, and heart cry need to understand that today. Who procrastinates his responsibilities or skirts his duties. Quite the contrary, as a matter of fact. Joshua is an aggressive leader. He's a warrior. Joshua's resilient. He's relentless. He's a fighter, and he takes nothing off anybody. And oddly enough, as the very thing that makes him such a great leader ends up becoming the very thing that almost takes him out. Joshua had no trouble taking on issues and responsibilities and taking on authority, and perhaps to his credit, and I'll give it, the reason I think he was possibly chosen to be called into this position after such a great leader named Moses was because, let's just be honest, guys, at times, just have an honest moment, Moses had a bad habit. He had a bad habit of leading the children of Israel in circles. Around and around and around and around the same old mountain. 40 years later, they're still almost equal to where they started. Little to no progress. In fact, an entire generation died off following Moses around and around and around and around the same stuff. And Moses, faced with an opportunity to go forward, becomes frustrated, gets ticked off, and starts leading the people out of his emotions and out of his own personal frustrations. And he vents his anger and disappointment from the pulpit, and he becomes bitter and offended at the people for their failures. And God ultimately removes him from leadership because Moses has now become a man who has lost heart and cannot control his own emotions anymore. So what ultimately happens? Listen to me. God takes him out. You cannot lead into greatness with small-mindedness. If you can't see past today, if you can't see past the moment, if you can't see past right now, you'll never lead anybody into greatness. You cannot lead others to greatness, church, if you have no heart to pursue it yourself. You're either going to be exceptional or you're going to be like everybody else and just settle for being ordinary. I know I'm weird. I look weird. I got a duck butt for a haircut. All I would have to do is button up the last two buttons and put ash between my eyes and I'd be an Indian. Come on, hello! Just being honest, guys. I mean, I look weird. I preach weird. I do things weird. But let me tell you from my observation is that I've looked over my life, man, and I just realized that normal ain't working no more, guys. It's time to get weird. I'm so sick and tired of tradition and ritual and formalism that does nothing but pump up flesh, amen, and does not provoke a prayer life, doesn't provoke forgiveness, doesn't provoke sanctification, doesn't even provoke most to go to an altar. I'm telling you today, guys, amen, we need to come to a place in our life where we realize, amen, that we were not only born on purpose, but everybody here was born for a purpose. And until you find that purpose, you'll struggle. But God has not created us to struggle. He created us to snuggle. Somebody say amen to that. Joshua's getting ready to take on the battle of his life, and he has all the anxieties and stress of trying to figure out his plan for success. And he makes this statement in verse 13. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua ran unto him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? First of all, let me say this. It's not just any man. The next verse says, a man spoke and said, I am the Lord of hosts. And Joshua ended up on his face, right? So what I need you to hear today is this. It was not a man. It was God standing right next to him. And yet, just like Joshua, we too seem to have a problem of becoming often too practical, that we often fail to recognize God in the middle of our own battles and our situations. And he's right there. But we don't take opportunity of it. Look, I started to entitle this message today, Save Your Drama for Your Mama. That's what my title was going to be. Come on, amen. I mean, are you for real? It is so easy to become blinded by media and political hysteria, blinded by lies and hypocrisy on social media, deceived by politics, blinded and crippled in our faith by all the chaos surrounding us, that often we actually forget to recognize God is really in the middle of our storms. Let me give you an illustration. Hang on a minute. Now, it came to pass on a certain day that Jesus got into a ship with his disciples and went with them. So let us go over into the other side of the lake, and they launched forth. Started out good, right? But as they sailed, the Bible says he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake. They were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Jesus arose, rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and it ceased. There was a calm. Last verse. And he said unto him, where is your faith? They didn't even know who they had with them. They didn't even recognize who they had on board. Heart cry, I've got to ask this question today. Out of all due respect, Pastor Leonard, does anybody here, amen, do you recognize who's on board with you? Or have you too been fellowshipping like the disciples with a Savior you've not took the time to stop and recognize? What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves, they obey him? They didn't even know who they had with them. The failure to not discern God as being involved in the conflict or adversity is often a crippling mistake that we all make. So watch this. We end up making a permanent decision in a temporary season. We divorce and throw it all away. We take a pistol and blow our brains out. We take a bottle and swallow every one of them. Come on, guys. We go find an overpass and jump off in front of the next semi. You want to know why people do this? Just walk off the job. Don't tell nobody, even quit. Huh? Just leave the church and ticked off, amen, because I didn't wear a suit. I wore Hey Dudes. You're starting to look a little too serious at me. Come on, amen. That makes me nervous when you look at me like that. Huh? The reality of this is, amen, is you have to understand the failure to not discern that God's hand is often in the midst of our adversity and conflict. I know we got religions that teach opposite of that, but can we just use common sense for a minute, folks? Amen, tell me there wasn't some adversity and conflict in Jesus' life. Tell me there wasn't some adversity and conflict in Paul's life. Tell me there wasn't some adversity and conflict in every one of them's life. And the only ones God ever really used to the fullest were prisoners anyhow. Troublemakers, accidents, looking for a place to happen. That's who I am. My question to you today is this. Do you too have a habit of recognizing God in your situations? Or are you so busy dealing with carnality, dealing with the process of life, attitudes, opinions, the emotions and ideas, too busy dealing with facts, figures, and finances, the supervisor on the job, the clerk behind the counter that looked at you mean, the phone call you keep trying to avoid, dealing with that troubled marriage at home, them kids are acting like lunatics, trouble with the family, and you're continually dealing with this, that, and the other, and you have failed to recognize that there is a spiritual dynamic to winning, and it takes more than just showing up at Heart Cry at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Going to church does not make you a Christian or bail you out of your adversity, no more than going to an Alabama chicken house and make you a hen. I'm not here to advise any of you to do nothing but pray. That's a definite recipe for defeat. Yes, you heard me right. In fact, it drives me crazy to hear people say, well, brother, you know, just pray about it. Sister, oh, you just got to pray about it. I want to go nuclear every time they say that mess, because it convinces people of something that is not real, nor is it biblical, and that is that all you've got to do is absolutely do nothing but just pray. And that's not biblical. You've got to get engaged and you have to do something in order to win. Because faith without works, you finish it. Period. And to bring balance, let me also say that works alone won't get it either. Some folks are nothing but workaholics. And I'm not talking about you, Pastor Leonard, I promise. Didn't even think of you when I wrote this down. They got every engine they own running around the clock. RPMs tacked out in the red. Motor running wide open. I'm talking about Daniel. Going here, going there, doing this, doing that. Got fire coming out every exhaust I have. Working myself to death around the clock. Ain't got time for the wife. Ain't got time for the kids. Most folks ain't got time for church. No time for vacation. Wouldn't know how to spell rest if their life depended on it. They got everything in it but God. And I knew when I put that down, it was going to bust somebody in this house. And some of you just got nailed right there because you're too busy. And that's why you're still spiritually immature. And couldn't fight yourself out of a wet paper sack with directions, amen. It's simply because, amen, you do not take time to recognize the one who's in the boat. Then the storm comes and you lose your mind. I've never been one to tell people pour their medication out because if I get a headache, I need some Excedrin migraine. Come on, amen. And at 53, amen, ibuprofen has become my best friend. All right, them biggins. Them 800 milligram. Whoa, man, them things are good, right? Yeah. Call me what you want, honey, but I ain't preaching hurting. Come on, amen. Hello. But when you look at this, you got everything in it but God. And when God gets into the middle of your goals and your dreams and desires and daily routines, it helps you to become more effective in your ability to make a lasting difference in someone's life. We need God in the center of everything we do. Hey, man, look at this story. Joshua runs up on God. Are you with me or against me? What side you on? God said, neither. That wasn't the answer he wanted. It's not about if I'm on your side, Joshua. The question is whose side you on? Hello, heart cry. It's not about God bless America. I think it's time for America to start blessing God. Seems like we're giving our blessing to everything but God. Huh? I said, we're giving our blessing to everything but God. It's not about if I'm on your side, son. It's whose side you on. It's not about you convincing God to support your agenda. It's about you getting on your knees and finding out how you can support God's agenda. And Joshua asked God, whose side you on? And God said, neither. That mentality has now, Rody, amen, reached the 21st century today, and now we have complete society that is forever trying to get God to choose sides. Tell me I'm wrong. God, are you Democrat or Republican? Take a side. Well, that didn't go over real well in Osceola County. That's why I said it. God, can I be a Christian and be gay? Pick a side. I know that's tender to touch that, but I also know that most preachers don't. Okay? So fewer the voices on the side of truth, the louder and more distinct must be mine. I said, fewer the voices on the side of truth, the louder and more distinct must be mine. You ain't born gay, sir. And if you think you were, get born again. That'll fix you right there every time. And if you can't applaud that, amen, you backslid yourself. Hello! I feel Pastor Leonard pulling back on the reins. Yeah, you're doing good, son. Pull back. I hear you, Papa. Huh? God, can I butcher my baby and still be a Christian without repentance? God, take a side. Are you Baptist or Pentecostal? Take a side. Are you a tongue talker or a tongue forbidder? Take a side. Baptism required to go to heaven? Take a side. If I do get baptized, should it be in Jesus' name only, according to Acts 2:38, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, according to my, take a side. Worship and praise or red back hymnal? Contemporary or Southern gospel? Take a side. King James or NIV? Take a side. I'm done. Right? Hey dudes or tassels? We're always trying hard to get God to choose sides. Man, I'm so guilty of this. Always arguing about whose side God is on in hopes that I might be proven right and my adversary proven wrong. A narrow mind always limits your perspective and knowledge of reducing God to a butler or a maid that you can summons anytime you like for your own agenda or personal desire. Most Christians today that embrace faith, they do it from such a selfish perspective that all they really want to know is how they can use God to promote what they're trying to accomplish on their own. He runs around. Amen. Starts running up on God. Are you with me or against me? God said, I'm not on either side. It's not about me being for you. It's about about you being for me. And the Bible talks about Amalek fought with Israel and Rephidim and Moses and Joshua and chose out men. And here they are, amen. Moses is up on a mountaintop and all of a sudden Aaron's down there fighting the enemy. And it seems like, amen, every time, or Joshua was rather, and every time they would lift up his hands, amen, hold his hands up, he would get the victory. So in other words, Moses is up on the mountain, not a direct view. And when Moses raises his hands, Joshua prevails. And when Moses drops his hands, Joshua loses. Here's my issue. Joshua's down there fighting and he's winning. But he fails to realize he's only winning because Moses is on the hill with his hands raised. You see, some people think they're winning in life because they're such a good fighter, because they're smart, because they're pretty, because they got eye candy, because they got money, because they got a house, because they got prestige and power and position. But they're not winning because of all of that. They're winning because somebody's in a secret closet praying and interceding for you, causing you to prevail over your enemies. None of us are where we are in life today because of our own unique skill set. We have been brought into the fold by no other means than the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of the living God. Someone else paid the price for my victory. Someone else paid the price for my freedom. Someone else paid the price for my redemption. I didn't get where I am today on my own. Jesus is the reason, amen, that I swapped my crack rock for the solid rock and I hadn't been the same since. He's the reason I'm not divorced. He's the reason I still have an effective ministry. He's the reason I have hope for tomorrow. It's not your works alone, lest any man should boast. I come to tell somebody at heart cry, God is with you in your battle, honey. You're not alone. You've not been abandoned. He's not walked out on you. He still knows your beginning from your end. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be with you even into the ends of this world. Yes, God is with you in the battle. The battle is not yours. It belongs to God. But that doesn't mean that you don't have to show up for the fight. You have to do your part too, honey. You're not going to use God to get your victory. God's going to use you to get his. And you got to understand the battle's not yours. It belongs to God. And so you can't afford to keep fighting the enemy without being refreshed by the presence of the Lord. So here is what I want to drop on you right now, and I'm going to get out of your hair for a few minutes. He's with you in the battle, not only to fight for you. That's pretty much where we always take it, and that's pretty much where we always stop. God's for me, he's fighting my battles. Take a deep breath, sit down. Listen, he's with you, honey. Yes, he is going to fight your battles, but that's not the primary purpose of why he's with you. He's with you not only to fight for you, but also to refresh you and restore you and revive and strengthen you so you don't drown when the storm comes. Amen. So you don't become defeated in the fight. Amen. Somebody, amen, shout, God's with me right now. Come on. I'm telling you, that thing fighting you is fighting God. To abandon you is to abandon himself. To forsake you is to forsake himself. To allow you to lose for is for him to embrace defeat. To walk out on you is to isolate himself and go against his word. God is with you in the battle. He don't just show up when it's over. In 30 years of ministry, there's been so many times I found myself weak, stressed, worried, frustrated, on the verge of defeat. What I finally come to realize is that I'm feeling what I'm feeling. Not because the battle's too intense. That's what we always think. But rather because I'm not spending enough time in his presence. Whoa! You didn't like that, did you? My flesh didn't either. But baby, let me tell you something, amen. We're talking about the master of truth right here. I'm going to say that again. I can always tell when I need to spend more time with God because people start getting on my nerves, which is pretty much every day. Pastors become irritating and my worries start outweighing my faith. And there seems to be a power struggle with most everybody in my path. On the road, in the shopping line, getting my tea refilled. Light don't, boy, y'all's lights down here are demon possessed. I'm telling you, y'all stops lights down here need deliverance. Those things are slower than Joe Biden. I'm telling you right now, amen. I sit there yesterday and thought to myself, who's running this operation, right? Come on. I mean, you sit there all day long. I feel like everybody's getting a chance but me. Huh? It makes me want to do illegal stuff. Take off a little soon, right? I can always tell when I need to spend more time with God because the power struggle becomes real. It's not always a sign that those around me need to change. It's often a sign that I need to get up an hour earlier and face my God before I face my day so I can get my faith back, my courage back, my passion back, my fight back, my ministry back, so that I can, watch this, here we go, work from a position of strength rather than from a position of strain. I'm gonna land a plane here. You ready for this? Anybody a heart cry? Want to walk out of here today operating from a position of strength and no longer operating from a position of strain? I don't know about anybody else, but this boy wants strength and not strain in his marriage. I want strength and not strain in my finances. I want strength and not strain in my ministry. I want strength and not strain on my job and even raising my kids, man. I really need strength, God. I need strength and not strain studying my Bible and bending my knees to pray. Because can we just have an honest moment? There is absolutely no human being in this room that can walk down here, bend your knees, and instantly go right into the presence of God. That is impossible. It does not happen. You cannot tell me you're going to get to the throne without a battle. I don't know about anybody else in the room, but most of the time it takes me 20 minutes to deregister my mind because now, amen, my brain's working and I'm remembering everything, amen, I didn't want to do. Hello. And so you got to get all these voices and chaos out of your head. I ain't into this stuff. Go down here and spend 60 seconds. Amen. Think you got it done. You didn't, friend. You're not making an investment. I want strength and not strain navigating the will of God each day for my life. And I got to quit, guys. I got 17 pages and I'm on 3. I ain't lying. Man, I should have went to bed. I got enough for a week revival. Y'all want to hang out? Leonard ain't here. Come on, hello. Y'all want to hang out? I'm just playing. Let me land this plane. I got to quit. Some of you right now, your strain is stressed and you're at a breaking point because you're in a battle that you can't get out of. And you refuse to believe that you need God's divine assistance to carry you through. So you don't repent. You don't come to an altar. You say you can fix it on your own. But how's that working for you, friend? This ain't the first time you said, amen, you could get this under control, right? See, the problem of it is I was at my villa the other day that I'm staying at down here, and there's a water leak. There's a big brown spot right here. And so I got up there, and the mechanic, I mean, we started trying to fix that brown spot. And I stopped and told him, I said, why are we starting here? I said, the manifestation of the problem is right here, but the problem originated over there. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to cover up the manifestation, the fruit of the problem, without dealing with the root of the problem. The root of the problem in your life, sir, is not your wife. Don't get quiet on me. I know I'm preaching good. Was it something I said? The problem in your life is not your pastor. And I'm going to go ahead and say this for everybody. The problem in this country has not been the last two presidents. You sit around and keep cussing, ratting, and raving, and acting like lunatics if you want to. But Jesus said, amen, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, amen, then I'd hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. He didn't say anything in there about Joe Biden and Donald Trump. You hear me? I'm really telling you right now, it ain't about politics, guys. It's about a prayer life. It's about coming from a position of strength and no longer strain. We're too petty in church today at a time when God has called us to be powerful. We've become so petty. I'm looking at some of you right now that was just laughing a while ago. Boy, you're just enjoying the service till I said one thing you didn't like, amen, and you cocked your head. And you've been cocked, amen, for the last 12 minutes. Sir, let me help you out. It's okay. Grow up and mature. We can agree to disagree. You ain't all that yourself. Everybody's entitled to their own ideology, their own opinion, especially, amen, when it comes to the Word of God. We got to grow up, guys. Some of you right now, you're strained and stressed and at the breaking point because you're in a battle you can't get out of. Oh, you talk a good talk on Sunday morning, but by the time the sun sets, you're right back to trusting your own skill set, and you're too busy to spend any time with God, so you continue on down the same path you've been on for 20 years, back around the same old mountain day after day, week after week, and month after month, year after year, thus making nothing more than a career out of your problem. God wants you to know He's with you in the battle, honey. Not so you can just win the battle, but even more important, so He can refresh and refuel you in the midst of the battle, so that you don't have to continue going on, amen, in defeat and defeat and defeat and defeat. There's a reason why we unlocked the doors and turned on the lights today. There's a reason why we sung these beautiful songs, man. There's a reason why God's presence came in this house today. It has nothing to do with you walking on your tiptoes whistling Dixie when you leave. Church is not meant to be a bless me trough where we all show up and roll around like a bunch of pigs in the anointing and take it for granted. Church was meant to be, even in the Bible when you look at it, church was meant to be a place where I come and I express in an outward fashion God's value, God's worth, and God's importance in my life. You know what's wrong with America? We're not grateful anymore. We're not grateful to have a neighbor. We hate him because we don't like his dog. It's true. Republicans absolutely hate Democrats. Democrats absolutely hate. This stuff is stupid, man. Can I tell you right now, I'm so sick of this mess. I don't want my grandbaby growing up in this crap. And that's exactly what it is. It's demonic activity. We need to be adults and grow up. Agree to disagree. Move on. What's this issue of color of skin and stuff? I mean, come on, guys. We are, man. I mean, enough is enough. I ain't buying into this political hysteria. I'll close with this today. David said, I will look unto the hills from which cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord. Builder and maker. So can I encourage the church today, if you're in a storm, just lift your eyes a little higher. Quit looking at the circumstance. Go home and go to bed tonight and go to sleep. The Bible said that God neither sleeps nor does he slumber. So the way I look at it, there's no need in both of you staying awake. Go home, go to bed. Quit worrying so much. You're killing yourself, honey. I'm talking to Daniel. Never thought I'd call myself honey, but I'm killing myself. When it's your kids, it's a different beast, isn't it? And when it's your grandbaby who's involved, that hits a little different. I've only got one. Here we are leaving Monday. No, Saturday. I got to fly home tomorrow for a family vacation. All of us. And we're bleeding out, man. We're wounded. But I know this. I've been young and now I'm old. But I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor any of his seed having to beg for bread. God knows my beginning from my ending. He's faithful. So I'm going to step back and watch him do what he does best. And that is miracles. I love you, Heart Cry. Thank y'all for loving me and Wendy. Thank y'all for making a place for us where I can be me. I don't have to be something that I'm not. Is there anybody in this room right now as we come to do our altar time? I know I went a little long this morning. Is there anybody in this room right now? I'm going to check this out. I'm going to see how bold you are. We're going to keep the lights on. We're not bowing heads and closing eyes and going through that routine. I'm not doing it. If what I just got through preaching and this anointing on this platform is not enough to move you, and if you want to sit back there and pout, amen, because I said something about your political figure, come on, hello. If you still hung up on that, then friend, that's your problem. You had that before you ever met me, okay? I'm here to feed sheep, not wrestle goats, okay? So if you're in this room right now and you're at a place in your heart and you say, you know what, man, I listened and I heard. You might not agree with everything, but you're kind of at a place in your life right now. You say, you know what? Room for improvement is the largest room in the world. And I don't have to wait till January the 1st of 27 to get the party started. Let's get a run and go, Heart Cry. I dare you. Is there anybody in this room right now sitting down, eyes ain't shut, heads ain't bowed, everybody's looking around nosy? Find out who's going to be going to move first. Yeah, you're in the spotlight, watching a live stream. The world's watching you right now. Who would be bold enough to say, you know what? It's for me and my house. We are going to serve the Lord. And y'all can sit here if you want to and drive and take 10 more trips around the mountain. I'm not going to do that. I heard the word. I'm going to the altar. I'm going to ask for God's guidance, forgiveness in my life. I need clarity. I need to understand what his purpose is right now. And you doggone right, I'm guilty. I just don't take the time to recognize the one in the boat with me. Then the storm comes and I lose my mind. I don't sleep. I don't function. I can't eat. I'm irritable. I'm frustrated. I don't even want to work. I don't even want to talk. I want to close the door, turn the lights out, and everybody leave. Why? Because you're not taking time to get more familiar with the one in the boat. I'd like to lower the lights down now, create an environment in this room. And if you're in this room and you need to come to the altar in prayer, just want to make an altar right where you are. I hope today you've not just heard my words, but you saw my heart. Don't walk out of here ticked off and offended at me today, friend. The Bible said, great peace have they which love thy law, and absolutely nothing will offend them. So when you become easily offended at things that you don't agree with, it's all because you're not in the word enough. You know how you make that connection? Because if you think I'm too hard on you, it's because you're not hard enough on yourself. So when you get in the word and the word peels your onion, when you get to church, you're kind of accustomed to that. Change. Growth. We got men in this room right now sitting in this house with pornography on their phones. And you're wondering why your marriage is like it is. But honey, let's just be honest. If he came to you and got real, you'd throw him away because you would take it personal that you're just fat, ugly, and unattractive. Nobody wants anything to do with you. And you take it personal rather than understanding that he's being attacked by a spirit. And the fact that he come to you is the fact that he don't want to continue that way, but he has nowhere else to go. It's safe. Sometimes, guys, we just have to work it out together. But you'll never operate from a position of strength as long as you continue embracing strain. And I'll leave that with you this morning. God is with you in the battle. It's not yours to have to fight. Yes, we have to show up in the battle. We have to be faithful. We have to be willing. To get real with ourselves. We've got enough fake news in this world, both sides. We sure don't need it, church. While they're finishing up praying right now, we get ready to transition from the next service. I think it was a couple of services ago I told you guys about, we have bald eagles up in Alabama now. My son and I, Caleb, were out on Lake Gunnersville fishing, bass fishing. And it was early one morning, and I looked up and there was a big, huge eagle's nest in the top of a massive pine right there in front of Gunnersville State Park, right out in the middle of the river. It's beautiful. And I looked up, and I've studied eagles in the ministry for years. I saw a mama eagle and a papa eagle, and then I seen two little fuzzy heads peeking over the edge. And I just started watching, A few minutes later, the papa eagle flew out of the nest, flew right over the top of our boat, 6-foot wingspan. And I knew where he was going because of my studying eagles. Every morning, the first thing a papa eagle does is he goes out and finds a piece of green spiry or vine or something like that and brings it back to his female, his wife, his love, and so that she can, you know, weave her nest. And that's what he does. So I knew where he was going. He was, get out of the doghouse. Okay? That's what that translates to. And so all of a sudden, I got to watching the little eagles, and one of them kept getting closer and closer and closer, and finally it fell off the side of the nest, and it was coming down tail first. Its feathers were going the wrong way, and it was like one of them little helicopter things you throw up in a tree that spins, and that's how it was coming down. And I throwed my trolling motor down and picked up my fishing net and turned it on 10 and hit the gas. And Caleb said, what are you doing, Daddy? I said, I'm going to get that baby eagle before it hits the water. He said, Dad, you'll go to prison for that. I said, well, sometimes it's easier to get forgiveness than permission, son. Come on, have more. And so I'm trying my best to get over there. And right before I got where that eagle was fishing hit the water, it was all, I mean, it was probably about that far from the water coming down, slow, so slow. That papa eagle flew over the top of my boat. It was the most remarkable moment of my life, man. That thing flew over the top of my boat, and I heard, and he actually caught that little eaglet on its back and took that thing off through the thicket and was gone. Heart cry, I want to tell you this before I sit down. You cannot fall faster than the Father can fly. Walk out today and be encouraged. If God be for us, who can be against us? I hope you hang around, amen, for the second service. It's going to be good. Thank you.